These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, Saturday's national No Kings protests bring out demonstrators in many Georgia cities. Looming federal cuts could mean scaling back services in Georgia libraries, and the number of people diagnosed with dementia in the coming years is expected to double.
One in two households will be affected by dementia. Think about every other house on your street or every other unit in your condo building.
Today is Monday, June 16th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Organizers of Saturday's No Kings demonstrations across the country said millions marched in hundreds of events. Atlanta's 5,000 capacity rally quickly reached its limit in front of the state capitol. And in Macon, the No Kings rally took place in the same downtown park where rallies have been happening most weekends since April. Army veteran Michael O'Neill was there. He deployed to Afghanistan and was in the ground war in Iraq in the 3rd Infantry Division. O'Neill says he's worried about how Trump uses the military.
I'm concerned about the federalization of the National Guard. When I remember what I saw in Afghanistan, Iraq, and I see things like that happening here, it's scary. Yeah.
At the No Kings rally in Warner Robins, Catherine Contreras-Jara told GPB she opposes Donald Trump's immigration policies.
In his words, he thinks that we're all rapists and criminals, but unfortunately, we're hardworking people, and without us, this country would not run. I don't see a lot of other people wanting to take the jobs that these people are doing in the fields or in construction. My dad works hours and hours and hours under the sun. We're hardworking citizens, hardworking people who just want a better life.
And in Woodstock, John Ross, who was visiting his family in the area when he decided to join the No Kings protest, showed up carrying a giant American flag.
Everybody is here to make America work together. We are not here for kings. We are not here for dictators. I am carrying sunscreen and water because if we crisp, curl up, and die, the fascists win!
Police say the afternoon in Woodstock was peaceful and no arrests had been made in connection with the protest. The Savannah Police Department is updating how it reviews use of force cases, adding civilian voices to the process. Police Chief Lenny Gunther says a new review committee will include a faith leader, two city council appointees, and an outside expert. The changes follow two controversial police encounters where officers were shown using excessive force on citizens. Gunther says he is also now requiring commanders to review all use of force incidents within 24 hours. Earlier this month, Savannah Mayor Van Johnson called for major changes in the way use of force investigations are handled. Middle Georgia libraries may soon have to scale back services due to looming federal funding cuts. The Institute for Museum and Library Services, IMLS, provides millions of dollars to libraries nationwide, including programs in Macon. But a proposed 2026 federal budget would slash IMLS funding from over $300 million to just $6 million. Alan Harkness, director of the Chattahoochee Valley Libraries, says that could disrupt vital community services like mobile Wi-Fi hotspots and a statewide courier service that delivers books between branches. In Macon, the hotspot program is already ending, and libraries are now exploring other ways to improve connectivity, like adding Chromebooks or video equipment. Congress has until October 1st to finalize the budget. Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock is pushing for a bipartisan bill to help shelter animals in Georgia. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
The Bringing Animals Relief and Kibble Act, or BARK Act, would remove some bureaucratic barriers to pet stores donating kibble to shelters, including protection from liability. Pet stores often throw out unsold pet food and supplies instead of donating them to local shelters. Warnock says this bill will help Georgia's vulnerable shelter animals and reduce waste in landfills.
As the senator from Georgia, who, if you saw my ads, literally walked a beagle into the United States Senate, I owe a debt of gratitude to our furry family members.
Warnock is co-sponsoring the bill with Republican Senator from North Carolina, Tom Tillis. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
Georgia Power says it has successfully completed a second trial blending hydrogen and natural gas fuel. Georgia Power collaborated with Mitsubishi Power for the testing at Georgia Power's plant McDonough, Atkinson, and Smyrna as part of a continued commitment to developing reliable, affordable, and clean energy for customers. The demonstration project is the first to validate 50% hydrogen fuel blending on an advanced class gas turbine and the largest test of this kind in the world to date. The plant McDonough Atkinson facility was fully converted to natural gas more than a decade ago and can power up to 1.7 million homes. A federal government office in Norcross that monitors water quality will remain open. The U.S. Department of Interior said last week the U.S. Geological Survey's South Atlantic Water Science Center will not have its lease terminated. The Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, had listed the property earlier this year as one of many under consideration for closure as part of efforts to reduce government spending. The center in Metro Atlanta conducts critical water testing along the Chattahoochee, which supplies drinking water to millions of people. Nearly one in five adults in the U.S. are caregivers, and here in Georgia, 60% of those caregivers are women. For those caring for someone with dementia, the work can be especially intense. One local organization is trying to change that, not just by supporting caregivers, but by preparing entire communities to better recognize and respond to dementia. Cloud Conrad is Program Development Director for the Beyond Dementia Coalition. She spoke with GPB's Morning Edition host, Pamela Kirkland.
Dementia, it's a different kind of caregiving. Can you talk a little bit about what makes it so unique?
One of the main differences between dementia care and care for persons experiencing any other kind of issue or simply aging, normal aging, is that those who are living with dementia, because of the changes, the cognitive changes that the disease causes, it changes their relationship to the person who is caring for them. Cancer doesn't cause that. Heart disease doesn't cause that. But dementia does. And one of the main reasons for that is because dementia over time affects one's ability to communicate effectively, accurately, and remember those communications as well.
Dementia is one of those diseases that does come with stigma, and it's stigma in terms of talking about it and talking around it. How do you navigate that? And how does your organization help people navigate that stigma that's associated with dementia?
Well, thank you for that. I think one thing is inspiring curiosity. And the other is helping to kind of shift people's perspectives in training. I hear as I'm getting training and new certifications, the phrase challenging behaviors. Challenging for us, certainly, but the person living with dementia is challenged themselves, and they are working with the skill that they have left. They're not choosing to be difficult or appear manipulative or some other things that I've heard people say. And if we can just get people to understand the person living with dementia, their brain is dying. They are losing the ability to communicate as they desire, and they are losing the ability to interpret and respond to the world around them in the way that they once did. If we can make those communications, if we can just ask that question of people, then we can begin to reduce stigma and bust through these misperceptions and myths.
Your group offers training not just to caregivers, but also to people in public-facing jobs like grocery clerks. Why is that public awareness piece so important when you're talking about dementia caregiving?
Today, Pamela, one in five households is affected in some way by dementia, whether there's a person diagnosed living in that household or where that's a sibling or a child living outside that particular household who's also affected and involved in that case of dementia. We are expecting that over the next 20 years that the number of diagnoses will nearly double. And as time goes on and we reach the years between 2050 and 2060, when we expect the number of dementia diagnoses that we have today to double from 7 million to 14 million, then that's going to mean one in two households will be affected by dementia. Think about every other house on your street or every other unit in your condo building. If that's the case, then we are all going to be interacting with people living with dementia. If we know how to recognize that a person might be experiencing some cognitive impairment and know a little bit about how to help them succeed in whatever they're trying to do, whether it's buy groceries at the grocery store, cash a check, or make a deposit, if folks can help those living with dementia succeed, then society will be so much better off.
With that increase in the number of people who will be touched by dementia and or experiencing dementia in one way or another, I mean, is our healthcare infrastructure set up to deal with that?
Unfortunately not. We know that in healthcare in general, there is a workforce pipeline shrinkage. We're definitely seeing that in healthcare, in nursing, and also in assisted living and memory care units as well. So we're seeing influx, or huge exponential influx of folks who need care. And I wouldn't say that the pipeline is diminished by half, but we are having opposing trends at the same time. That makes our preparedness as a society and our preparedness in Georgia weak, an opportunity for improvement. And that's really where Beyond Dementia Coalition is aimed, at closing that preparedness gap in preparation for the tsunami, some call it, of diagnoses that we are expecting in the next 20, 30, 40 years.
Cloud Conrad is Program Development Director for the Beyond Dementia Coalition. You can find them online at beyonddementiacoalition.org. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much, Pamela. It's been wonderful. I really appreciate it.
And you can find all of this week's coverage of caregiving in Georgia at gpb.org/caregiving. And that's a wrap on the podcast today. Thank you so much for choosing Georgia Today as your source for news. We're going to be back tomorrow as well, so make sure you subscribe to this podcast. And remember, our reporters are always posting news stories at our website, gpb.org/news. Now, if there's a story you think we should be covering, or if you have feedback on one we have already covered, let us know by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.